If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, we're going to be ending John chapter 3 today is where we're going to be. I'm glad that you're here and God's presence is here today. And I believe that if you open your ears to God's message today, don't open it to me, open it to God's word. I think that God has something special for each of us today. If he hasn't poured out to you yet his blessing, there's going to be something in the message today that I believe is going to be powerful for you. The title of the message is Believing in God. Do you believe in God? I trust that each of you do, and I want to talk about believing in God today. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where someone is just on a different plane than you, on a different, not airplane, but a different level than you. Let me give you a couple of examples. There are some of you in this room that if we start talking Trivial Pursuit, which I don't know if they have the Trivial Pursuit game anymore, but some of you like Trivial Pursuit and you enjoy that game. For me, I'm a sports guy, and so if ever I could get to the sports place on the board for Trivial Pursuit, I'd go there. I wouldn't know many of those, but at least I had a chance at getting an answer. Now, some of you are like, yeah, let me be in Trivial Pursuit. How many of you like Trivial Pursuit, and you're really good at that, and you're really smart? Yeah, good for you. You guys are in a different plane because, like, I want them on my team kind of deal, you know? I mean, some of you, when you watch Jeopardy, I don't know if anybody still watches Jeopardy, you're like, huh, I'll take the 100 one, please, and then you get the 100, and some of you are just like, you get them all. I'll take the Daily Double. Yeah, I'll risk all the money in the world, and I'm like, no, I'll risk like 50 cents, please, because I don't know very many of those. Some of you are on a different plane athletically. Some of you, when it comes to sports and things, you're like, you know what? Just pass the ball to somebody else. Somehow get them the ball. I don't necessarily want to do that. When it comes to running, you just let that person run. You just go for a nice little run. You go do that. When it comes to tennis, yeah, serve the ball. I'll just stand back here and say, good job. There's some of us that are on just different planes with those things. I wonder about each of us, or if we're on a different plane spiritually speaking. There are some people that when you're just around them, there's just an aura about them that when you're in their presence, you're just like, wow, I never thought of it that way. And those people that are on a different plane spiritually, they're not arrogant, they're not proudful, they are just calm and wonderful and generous. And if I may say, spirit-filled people. And when you're with them, you're like, oh, wasn't it rich to be with them? Wasn't it just powerful? Wasn't it just interesting? The conversation is grace-filled. Their temperament is good. Their responses are appropriate. They are filled with joy. They suffer, but they suffer well, if that makes sense. I wonder if you've known a person like this that is just on a different plane spiritually, and when you're with them, you're like, boy, I just want to saddle up next to them. Maybe it's a person that when you're with them and they pray, you're just like, how do they do that? How do they pray like that? And when you stumble along, you're like, God is good, and with the food, and amen, and amen. And then that's when you're supposed to eat, and you just feel like you fumble around. But then when you're somebody, and it's like, ah. Oh. There was one that responded perfectly, and that was Jesus. Why was that? Because he was from heaven and not from earth. You wonder why sometimes you struggle spiritually? It's because you're from earth. You're not Jesus. You didn't come from heaven. But there is a way to develop into this person that would be spirit-filled. How? By believing in the Son of God. I wonder if you believe in God's Spirit. Now, I want to, before I go into reading the Scripture today, I want to remind you where we were at last week. There was some discussion going on about baptism. And John says this in verse 27, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. And we're going to talk about maybe something you can receive from heaven today. And this is what John the Baptist said at the end of verse 30 there. He must increase, but I must decrease. So we're going to talk about the increase a little bit here today. He must increase, but I must decrease. And so if you join me in John chapter 3, I'm going to start at verse 31. I'm going to go through the end of the chapter. It's on the Bible in front of you on page 888. Here's what it says. He who comes from heaven is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. The first thing I want you to see is Jesus is above all. The scripture says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Jesus spoke of heavenly things. How do we do in this? How do you and I do? Do we speak of earthly things, or do we think of and speak of heavenly things? This last week, as you think back at your last week, were you talking about heaven much? Were you talking about eternity much? Or were you focused on the weather? And were you focused on, Senator John McCain has passed away? And were you focused on what was happening in school and at your work? We focus on these things. We focus on the 401ks and how much the grass has grown and how much the weeds have grown. And we miss the heavenly things. Jesus knew of his position. John 13, verse 13 says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If you want information about something, you go to the person with that information. For instance, if you want information about the Selfridge family, you're probably not going to go to Craig Steinberg and say, tell me about the Selfridge family. I mean, he knows some things about the Selfridge family, but he doesn't know a whole lot about the Selfridge family. You come to the Selfridges and ask them. You go to the family historian. And so if you want information about God, go to God. If you want information from God, go to God. You go to God. Don't say, well, Pastor Steve, I hope this is a good sermon today because this is my information for the week. No, you go to God. It's nice to have a sermon, but when you go to the source, things change. John is telling us that Jesus was the source. He is the one that we go to. Now, just for information, as you're looking through the end of this chapter of chapter 3, you may be asking the question, who's actually talking here? As you're looking through this, is this John the Baptist? Is he the one that's kind of talking here? Because he says this, he must increase, but I must decrease. Or is this John the Apostle that is talking? Many would say that this is John the Apostle's words and not John the Baptist's words. And to tie in this message, because it's just one verse and a couple of verses, to tie in the message, he must increase, but I must decrease. We need the one who is above all to speak into us, to live inside of us, to increase in us. Jesus comes from above to grace us with his presence. Hear this commentator. Jesus's witness is God's perfect truth. He is God's perfect messenger and delivers God's message perfectly. I encourage you, don't set your sights on earthly speakers, earthly talkers. Set your sights on God. He bears witness to what he has seen or heard. I want you to think on that for just a moment. Jesus bears witness to what he has seen and heard. Jesus bore witness of heaven. Whatever your grandiose thoughts of heaven are, imagine Jesus came down and he bore witness of that. Imagine the sights in heaven. Imagine what Jesus heard in heaven. Imagine the majesty that was in heaven. Imagine the glory and awe. Many people, or there are some people who have close to death or who have out-of-body experiences, and they talk about the great light that's there. They talk about the peace that's there. Maybe you've heard of these. Heaven is wonderful, and Jesus brought heaven with him, and he bore witness. What did Jesus see in heaven? What did he see? What did he experience? Beauty as never seen before. Perfectness. And then this is what the scripture says. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard. Here's what another commentator says. Of the Father, of his mind and will, of his purposes and promises, of his love, grace, and mercy, in the counsel and the covenant of peace, lying in his bosom and being privy to all his secrets. Many of you have been able to take a wonderful drive on I-90. And some of you don't like the drive on I-90, but some of you enjoy that drive. Some of you have taken the drive, I'm assuming all of us have taken the drive, coming east to west along I-90. I personally think there's like one, there's more, but there's one grandiose kind of neat picture as you come across South Dakota. I've often wondered what the people on the stagecoaches and the wagons thought as they came upon what I'm going to just describe to you here. It's in between mile marker 260 and mile marker 265. And you're coming down the road, and all of a sudden you come, and right there is the Missouri River. I think that's one of the neatest scenes. I have a picture of it. Now, I will tell you that even this picture doesn't, I think, it doesn't do much justice to the picture, but there, and it's actually a little further. I didn't drive to Chamberlain today or this week and say, I need a good picture. I have another picture here, too, that I think is a little better. Just the beauty that's there. If you've never been there, it's kind of hard to describe, isn't it? But if you've been there, you kind of can describe it, but you can't get it all the way. You kind of just say, it's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. Imagine what Jesus is trying to, I mean, we have the beauty of God's creation. Some of you have been to Alaska, and you've enjoyed the beauty of God's creation in Alaska. Isn't that beautiful? Now, if you like cold, then that's why you go to Alaska. But if you like to stay warm, then you go to the beauty of a sunset on a beach. Some of you have seen the sunset on the beach, and you're like, now that is inspiring. Think of this. Jesus was in heaven, and he gave us witness to what he has seen and heard. But do you see what it says here? Yet no one receives his testimony. Maybe you've witnessed your grandpa laugh, and maybe that was just pretty incredible to you. And you just even remember that about your grandpa or your grandma. You can just picture that again in your eyes. Jesus brought this, and he witnessed this to us. He bore witness of what was going on in heaven. Pay attention to what Jesus said about heaven. I think this. Maybe you just need to hear this today. Maybe you're just in the sanctuary for this reason. We live in the doldrums of life. We live in the weeds. We live in the grass. And we live in with drips in our faucets. Jesus is from above. He is above all. And he speaks. And he bears witness of something greater. Second thing I want you to see is this. People rejected Jesus. Now, it doesn't say that in our scriptures, but no one receives his testimony, I think, says they rejected Jesus. And so I say this to you. Are you feeling rejected today? If you are, praise God. praise God. Because you're sitting in the same seat as Jesus. Sometimes some of you will share some bad news with me, and I don't mean to make light of your situation whatsoever, but sometimes I'll say, praise God. And some of you will look at me like, boy, you're kind of not very caring, Pastor Steve. And I'll be like, praise God. Isn't it wonderful that you're going through this? If you're going to suffer, suffer well. Isn't it wonderful God has given this you to you? Wow, isn't it wonderful? Now, most of us are like, oh, let me tell you. When you're rejected, understand that Jesus understands that. No one receives his testimony. It's kind of like if nobody this morning, and don't do this just to do it, but nobody this morning said anything to me about my message. If you walked out of here and nobody said anything about a good message, many of you do that, and thank you for doing that. You don't need to do that now, please. I don't need to have 85. Oh, good message. You don't need to do that. But hear me in that. Think of you standing up, being a parent with one of your children, and you saying, okay, now what I want you to do is I want you to clean your room, and you need to eat your breakfast, and you need to have all your clothes put away. And they just reject whatever you say. Some of your parents understand this completely. Some of you in this room have felt rejection your whole life. There's a couple of you in this room that have felt that. Felt rejected from your parents, rejected in school. Know that Jesus understands that. Here's what it says. Who has believed what he has heard from us? He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Let me give you another piece of information. The enemy of our souls rejects us as well. Know that when you follow after Jesus, rejection will come. Number three. Have you set your seal? Verse 33, whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. I love this picture of set your seal. Maybe you have a different translation. Maybe it says certified or has set to his seal or can affirm. But I wondered, what is your seal? I begin to think about this. Have you set your seal? Could be your name or your signature. Now, I personally think that my signature is pretty legibly. I mean, some of you might not be able to read my signature, but truth be told, some of your signatures are terrible. Yeah, who of you has a terrible signature? Be honest here. Okay, thanks for being honest. And you look at that signature and you're like, that really says your name, huh? I don't know how you get that out. Sure looks to me like it's just a bunch of scribbles. But that's your signature, isn't it? And that's okay. You keep signing your name like that. I'm not upset at you whatsoever. But we don't ever have to sign a document saying that we're a Christian. We don't ever have to sign anything. I've never asked you, okay, would you sign your name saying you're a Christian? No, I've never asked you to sign a piece of paper, whatever. Actually, do you know who signs our name? Jesus does in the Lamb's Book of Life. We say, I'm going to set my seal. I wonder what your seal would look like. Maybe think of it in this way. Do you have a stamp that says that you're a Christian? What's your seal? If they were to make a stamp of you as a Christian, what would that look like? I thought of the presidents that we have downtown, and they try to, you know, have Abraham Lincoln sitting down, or the guy throwing the baseball, or standing at a podium. You know, each of those. I wonder what your seal would look like as a Christian. What would it be? Have you set your seal to this, that God is true? Set your seal that God is true. And then it goes on and says this, John does, for he whom God has sent utters the word of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. God's Spirit is immeasurable. Without limit, never ending, going on and on and on. Now, according to John chapter 3, verses 5 and 8, 5 through 8, you've got to understand this. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We must be born of the Spirit. I want this Spirit that's talked about here without limit. So why at times don't I or don't you feel the Spirit's limitlessness? Where do you need to know today of God's immeasurable Spirit? Maybe you have a personal struggle you're going through and you're like, is God's Spirit really pouring through me? I like this phrase, pouring. I'm going to use that probably time and again. Maybe you don't have God's Spirit pouring very well. Maybe there's a personal struggle. Maybe a business challenge. Maybe a family battle. Maybe a school question. God gives the Spirit without measure, never ceasing, always going. I want you to think of a waterfall this morning, if you will. Maybe you've been to Yellowstone where they have huge waterfall. Maybe you've been to Niagara Falls, or maybe you've just been in the canyon and you've seen the Bridal Veil Falls. It just continues to come. The water just continues to come. And it just comes and it comes and it just pours. Imagine with me now a turtle underneath that waterfall. Imagine the turtle not necessarily getting drenched by the water, but underneath the water. Imagine that turtle that's there. Whether the turtle is underneath the water or whether the turtle is getting splashed by the water or somewhere in between, guess what happens? That waterfall continues to come. And so no matter where you're at, God's Spirit continues to be given to you without measure. This means in his personhood, who he is and exhibits and what he does. That is his essence. And I believe it's incredible. Now, I brought with me a couple of measuring things. Imagine this for a moment. I want God's Spirit. And so, God, would you please give me of your Spirit? I'd like a whole teaspoonful. Now, is that what we want? No, we don't want a little teaspoonful. We want something bigger, don't we? So let's go and get 2 cups. God, why don't you just pour your Spirit into me? Now that would be something, wouldn't it? More than that. But is that all you want? No, I think you want more than that. I do. Ha-ha, you didn't know I had that in there. But I did. An ice cream bucket. Think of this. Think of me pouring this on you. Anybody want to have an opportunity for me? No, I won't do that this morning. But think of that. Think of God's Spirit pouring into you. Immeasureless. Limitless. Do you want it in this? No, you don't want it in this. Do you want it in a 5-gallon bucket? We have these measurements that we use. And think of this. Think if I asked you to come up. I just want to pour God's Spirit into you this morning. Here, just take it. And you're like, yeah. But imagine that it's bigger than this. We're limited. I'm limited in my understanding. I wonder if sometimes we see God's Spirit as like this. And God says, my Spirit is immeasurable, without limit. I want to ask you today, Maybe you've been missing God's Spirit, and maybe even just right now, you need to say, God, would your Spirit just overwhelm me? Because here's what I do, here's what you do, here's what I think we all do, is we all worry about our little problems and our circumstances, and we forget to ask God's Spirit into that. And maybe we need to say, God, I know your Spirit is immeasurable and without limit. Would you just pour your Spirit into me today? Now, you may say, I'm just like a little garden hose, and so there's only so much that can come through the garden hose. But God, maybe make me like a huge PVC pipe. Whatever it is, pour it through me. Now, here's another question. Can we stop God's Spirit? This is a great theological question to talk about over lunch today. Can you stop God's Spirit? Part of me says yes. Part of me says no. You can look it up in Scripture and you can define, can we stop God's Spirit? Because if God's Spirit is measureless and limitless, then who am I to stop that? Can I stop that in my own life? In the Old Testament, it seems that the Spirit was only a limited amount on prophetic men and only conveyed to others. Think of Elijah. Think of Moses. They were given the Spirit at one point in time. It also seemed in the Old Testament that sometimes it was a gift here, it was a power there, and it wasn't permanently dwelling in men. It was only in a vision or in a dream or in a power. But I think what John is trying to tell us right now, but in Christ, all power, combined power, the permanent indwelling and supernatural power of the Spirit is given for you. The immeasurable power of His Spirit. Here's something that I just want you to think about for just a moment. There may be somebody who's facing something difficult in their life right now. Pray for God's Spirit to be unlimited in their life. Don't pray for the cancer. Don't pray for the headache. Don't pray for whatever. You can pray for that. Okay, I'm okay with that. But we focus on this, and why don't we pray for God's Spirit to pour immeasurably, limitless? Maybe you have a grandchild right now who's facing a difficult time in their life, and they're just doing stupid stuff. Pray that God's Spirit would so overwhelm them that they just can't get out of the drowning of God's Spirit. Why not? Pray for God's Spirit. Pray for this. There's a lady by the name of Annie J. Flint. She had rheumatoid arthritis. She was orphaned at an early age. She had cancer. I'm not sure when this started happening, but at least towards the end of her life, I believe she had to be in diapers because she was incontinent to get to the bathroom by herself. They said that she had to have 8 pillows around her at the end of her life because of bed sores. And she wrote this song. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction He addeth His mercy. To multiplied trials His multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limit, His grace has no measure, His power no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. His streams are overflowing. Psalm 103, verse 17, the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him. We cannot control or predict the moves of His Spirit. God's Spirit is immeasurable and available to everyone, including each of you. Don't think that God's Spirit is just for me. He's not. Oh, I'll take His unlimited and limitless Spirit. But every young man, every young lady, every man, every boy, and every girl, His Spirit is immeasurable. Verse 36. If you believe in the Son, Jesus, you have eternal life. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Why is John writing this book? But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. 1 John 5:10, whoever believes in the Son of God has a testimony in himself. which might mean testimony in his heart. Deuteronomy chapter 3. See, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your descendants may live. And Joshua 24, verse 15. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How does one receive eternal life? By believing in Jesus, the Son of God. Simple yet profound. Do you believe? Let me ask this question. Do you still believe? As I think across and I look across this sanctuary, there are many of you who have accepted Christ at an early age. And there are things that happen in your life when you say this, I still believe. I still believe in the Son of God. I still believe in life eternal. I still believe in Jesus Christ, his Son. Belief is shown through our actions. James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. Don't just say, I believe, and never changes your life. And if I may say this, we don't focus on this much in the church nowadays. But let me just point this out. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. If you're in the sanctuary today and you don't know and believe in the Son, know that the wrath of God remains on you. I'm not a hellfire and brimstone preacher, but I will say this. There is a place for those who accept the Lord, and there's a place for those who don't accept the Lord. And we need to accept the Lord. We need to accept the Lord. Why? Because his Spirit is limitless. And it goes on and on and on. This is a big deal for you who are Christians in this room. If you have somebody in your life that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, the wrath of God remains on them. And let me share this verse. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him on whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You need to share about God's Spirit dwelling within you. Jesus is above all. His message was not accepted on earth. I hope that you've set your seal. His Spirit is immeasurable. Believe in the Son. May you tap into God's Spirit that is immeasurable and believe in Jesus. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and he giveth and he giveth again. Would you stand with me today? I want to pray for you. Would you bow your heads and would you close your eyes today? I'm going to pray in a couple of ways today, and I just want, in the quietness of this moment, maybe you've just forgotten the limitless power of God's Spirit, and there's something in your life today. Maybe it's just your life. Maybe you just need his Spirit in your life. And I pray that you will just know his Spirit in your life. Maybe there's an issue going on for you, and you've just forgotten about God's Spirit. May it just be immeasurably powerful for you. Or maybe for you, you need to have that belief. May you believe in the Son who has eternal life. Thank you, God, for today. I pray for those couple of individuals here that have just been kind of, well, they've been kind of dry. They haven't tapped into your Spirit in recent days, and yet they know that your Spirit is limitless. I pray right now for someone here who just needs the outpouring of your Spirit, that even right now in these moments, in your kindness, in your mercy, and in your grace, that you would just pour into them, and they just receive it, and they would just say yes, and that your Spirit would begin or begin again for the very first time or for a renewal. And I pray that that Spirit within us, that's we try to define but we can't, would just overwhelm and be limitless. I pray that someone would apply your Spirit in one of their circumstances and that you would just reign supreme through them. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give of your Spirit all this week. I pray that as you go before each of these people, I pray that they would sense your presence. They would sense your Spirit living within them, and they would know your Spirit is without measure. Thank you, God, for your love for us. Continue to minister to each of us this day. May we have a grand day of worshiping you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.